everyone. The punt is back with Alex Dunn returning from a well-earned break. He even had a winning nap in his absence. Now, DK had another winner too, so the guys are in fine form. Derek McGovern is at his acerbic best on his bit. Robbie Savage is looking at the Gunners' problems, and the 3 o'clock number cruncher is back. I'll be back in a bit as well, telling you how to make your Accas bigger. But first, DK and Alex, take it away, guys.
Thank you, Emma. Good to have you with us for another edition of The Punt. I'm alongside Alex Dunn this week. Alex, it's a pleasure to have you back and in that hot seat.
Yeah, it's been a... Well, it feels like it's been a while. It's only been a fortnight, but I've not seen you for a while. I've watched football as and when I can. It's been quite nice. I'm really looking forward to this week as well. There's some really good televised games.
Yeah, we start off with Bournemouth versus Manchester United at the Vitality Stadium. 12:30 kickoff on Saturday for this one. Bournemouth 11-5 to win the match. The draw 13-5. Manchester United 6-5. Match result in both teams to score. Bournemouth in the market at 9-2 in that particular bet. The draw 29-10. Manchester United 29-10. Got to talk about what happened midweek in the Football League because we had Football League Cup. We had some amazing, astonishing games, and that strike from Marcus Rashford, you see where he puts the ball down 40 yards out and he's thinking, it's just one of those, don't shoot, do not shoot. And I've seen it so many times, leathers it, goes into row Z. You're thinking, well, why are you shooting from there? This time, with that Ronaldo-esque technique, flashes past Willy Caballero. It was just an unbelievable, incredible strike, and he's back, isn't he?
Yeah, I didn't watch the game live, and then you hear everyone talking about it, you think, well, I've got to see this for myself. It can't be that good. And you watch it, you go, oh, that's pretty good. We were debating, actually, my friends, we were saying, what's better, that or Ronaldo against Portsmouth?
Ooh, I think the Ronaldo against Portsmouth one's different because David James is just rooted to the spot, isn't he? And he doesn't even
And it was closer in as well.
Closer in. I think the Rashford strike's a better strike, though, don't you?
See, we were saying, nowadays, does a modern ball have more swaz on it? is that a factor that you have to consider as well?
Swaz is now the new number one word on this punt.
It's a scientist will tell you nowadays, loads of swaz on balls. I think it was a fantastic goal though, and it's good to see him at the top of his the top of his game, but getting back to something like that because he's looked a bit of a lone figure up front for Man U this season.
I think he's been injured for a large part of the campaign as well and just not 100% fit, and now he is. He's 4-1 to score first in this match, 13-10 to score any time. And Rashford scored in both the fixtures against Bournemouth last season, home and away. Got the 90th minute winner in this exact corresponding fixture last season as well. I'm looking at Marcus Rashford to score in this game. The question I ask you is, are goals guaranteed?
Well, with Bournemouth, you always assume that they are because they play good football. Defensively, they are pretty poor. But then I put the Norwich game still haunts me to this day.
That's what I was referencing.
Finished 0-0. I said that there would be goals. I was adamant that there would be.
Well, I think you said that there might be over 6.5 in the game.
I backed over 5.5 and over 6.5 in singles.
Outlandish at the time and foolish afterwards.
That was not a good bet. So they screwed me over a bit there, to be honest, Bournemouth. They haven't scored now in 3 Premier League games. They've kept 2 clean sheets in that time as well. So it's difficult to know exactly what to expect. Put it this way, if this game was a few weeks ago, you'd be saying Bournemouth and both teams to score. Now, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, 8 days, 3 away wins for Manchester United.
They've not won away since PSG in any competition. And now, in the space of a week, they've won 3 times.
They're chanting his name again, aren't they? They're chanting his name again.
The thing is, one swallow doesn't make a summer. No. Or 3 swallows don't make a summer. It's one of those things that Man U just need to continue this momentum now. And this is quite a good game for them, I suppose. Bournemouth not at the top of their game right now. I wouldn't be surprised if Man U were to win this. But, of course, the betting makes Man U clear favourites.
Yeah.
In my head, it would be more of a shock were Man U to win than the betting would suggest.
Okay.
I wouldn't make Bournemouth favourites by any means, but they're still a bit skinny, I think.
Marcus Rashford to score first in this game is my bet. I'm going with the hot hand here. Scored both home and away against Bournemouth last season. I think he'll get the first goal in this game.
I think he's been massively helped in the last couple of games by Anthony Martial being back.
Yep.
Because he's no world beater Martial, but he distracts defences. He's a threat in behind. And it means that Rashford isn't up against 3 or 4 defenders every time he gets the ball. So I think Martial being back has been a massive help to him. He's been in good form as well. I think I'm going to fully agree with you, which is a rarity.
Oh, very much so.
But Rashford to score first makes plenty of appeal. You've got to factor in as well, Man U get plenty of penalties. They've had four penalties in the last three games. They haven't scored them all, but nevertheless, Rashford looks likely to be on them. He did score against Chelsea in midweek from the spot, as well as that fantastic free kick.
Yeah.
Rashford to score first, the best bet for me as well.
Okay, Rashford to score first. We're in agreement here in the studio. Now let's hear from Robbie Savage. He is going to take a look at Arsenal's recent woes on Saturdays.
I read a tweet in the week from @Lathy29, which sums up the situation perfectly at this current moment. Here we go. Emery's Arsenal, a pressing side that can't press. A side that plays out from the back but can't. A team packed with talented players but can't function. A captain picked to lead but doesn't. A creative player who can't create as he's frozen out. And defenders that can't defend. You can see Unai Emery has been a successful manager. He likes his team to play, as said in that tweet, but I think he's only had three transfer windows, £205 million spent. I think he needs at least two or three more transfer windows to create that ethos, to create that way of playing with the players he was to bring in. Look at Manchester United. Since Fergie left, a legend like Wenger, they've had four managers, £900 million spent, miles off winning the Premier League. Is he really doing that bad, Unai Emery? Fifth last season, Europa League final. Currently fifth this season, ahead of Manchester United and Spurs. I'd stick with him. He's got young players coming through. He's got experience. Give him another two or three transfer windows.
Let's get stuck into Watford versus Chelsea then. This is the tea time fixture on Saturday, 5:30 kickoff. A Watford are 4-1 to win the game. The draw is 17-5. Chelsea 6-10 in the market. Don't forget you can build a Your Odds bet on the William Hill website and on the app as well. Plenty of enhancements available on the website also. Alex, this is interesting because Watford, 10 without a win this season, 14 without a Premier League win overall. And we've talked for a few years about the Pozzo family getting it spot on with their managerial appointments. Know exactly when to sack a manager and bring in fresh blood. Mm. This time, they didn't bring in fresh blood. They went back to Kike Sanchez Flores and it's not worked out. I know hindsight is a wonderful thing, but I wonder whether they are, I'm sure they are, regretting that decision now.
Well, if you're at the bottom, you often look at a new manager coming in midway through the season boost as maybe an extra 6, 7, 8 points.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened for Watford. So are they going to have to do that again before the end of the season? The thing is, for all that they are bottom, they could quite easily get out of it. Yes, they haven't won yet, but all they need is two or three wins in the next 5 or 6 games.
So you're still holding some positivity for Watford then?
Yeah. They could go down, but there's I think they're long-term, there's worse teams than them in the league. The issue that they've had is going forward. They just don't look dangerous at all, which is a surprise because in recent years, they've actually been fairly free-flowing. I know that Deeney being out is a big problem for them.
Yeah.
Welbeck's obviously injured now as well. Delafeu's in and out. It's difficult, and this won't get any easier because Chelsea at the minute have a real identity, don't they?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Gerard Deulofeu just before we come to Chelsea. Mm. He's 9-1 to score first in the match, 29-10 to score any time. He's had 24 shots on goal this season, 10 on target, and not scored this campaign. So if you're looking for a pro Watford bet here,
yeah,
Deulofeu to score any time, surely he's going to get one eventually.
Well, even, you know, if we've got any shots on target markets or things like that, if you're the opposition, you see Deulofeu lining up against you, you immediately think, oh, don't like that. Could we not have Andre Gray instead? You know, it's for all, I'm not having a big go at Gray there, by the way, but Deulofeu will run at you. He will turn defenders round. He's dangerous. Watford, on the whole, haven't looked particularly dangerous this season.
And Chelsea away from home have been absolutely outstanding recently. I don't think Wednesday night's results going to have any bearing on the outcome of this game, personally. Last four away games, they've won them all, scored at least 3 in each of those games. Mm. So we could be in for some entertainment here, perhaps.
Yeah, quite possibly. And Tammy Abraham's a guy that we've got to focus on as well because he's the league's leading away scorer. That does help when your team are scoring as many goals.
Pronounce his full name.
Tammy Abraham. He's been fantastic, hasn't he? Particularly on the road. The thing is, though, I didn't think that Burnley-Chelsea would be full of goals. I wouldn't have said that Wolves-Chelsea would have been full of goals. They just score loads and they let goals in as well, Chelsea. So it's one of those things, but they just play so well. The passing, the movement. I mean, Pulisic hadn't looked like he'd really taken to life in England. Then he goes and bags a hat-trick. They've got goals from everywhere. Even if Abraham has an off day, you've got Mason Mount who can step up. Willian can chip in. Marcus Alonso was there against Newcastle to score in a 1-0 win. They score goals. And I just think they'll outscore Watford here, basically. It's one of those games that you look at the price on Chelsea, you go, is that a bit skinny?
Yeah, yeah.
It probably isn't, to be honest.
Tammy Abraham, by the way, 14-5 to score first, 4-5 to score any time in the match. There's one stat that I love here, and it's that Chelsea have conceded more goals than every other club, apart from those three in the relegation zone, are going into the weekend. I think Chelsea will win this game, but I fancy both teams to score. I'm going with that. Chelsea to win and both teams to score in the match.
I'm in full agreement with you again, Dave. This is unprecedented. For all of Watford's struggles in front of goal have been fairly well documented this season. This is the kind of game that I can see them scoring in. At home, under the lights, I think that they'll cause Chelsea problems, but Chelsea will just score more than them, quite simply.
Yeah.
Chelsea away from home, scoring for fun, whether it's 3, 4 or 5. They don't need that many, but I think they will win here. I've got Chelsea and both teams to score. To be honest, it's a selection I just can't get away from.
Yeah, OK, Chelsea to win and both teams to score for Alex. In the game, kicking off at 5:30 at Vicarage Road.
Have you used your BetBoost yet? All you've got to do is make sure you're logged into your William Hill account, put an ACCA of a treble or bigger together, you'll see a black and yellow boost button in your bet slip, look at the price in yellow, click or touch and watch it get bigger. Enjoy William Hill's biggest ever BetBoost and check out all the T's and C's on desktop or on the app.
On to Crystal Palace versus Leicester City at Selhurst Park. 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday for this one. Palace are 12-5 to win the game. The draw is 5-2. Leicester City in the betting at 23-20. Match result on both teams to score. Crystal Palace 5-1. The draw 3-1. Leicester in the market at 16-5. And this is all about one man for me. That's Jamie Vardy. It was strange seeing that result last weekend at St Mary's. 9-0. And it was the relish in which he celebrated his hat-trick goal in the 94th minute from the penalty spot. They were 8-0 up. He celebrated as if it was a winner in the last minute, Jamie Vardy. He just loves scoring.
He's getting a lot of flack at the minute, though, isn't he? For off-the-pitch issues, shall we say. That basically have got nothing to do with him. And he loves winding away fans up. He's got real beef with West Brom fans. I remember he always scored against them at the Hawthorns and he always got to the same corner to celebrate. Always wind them up. But he's one of those players. He will do that to fans. But he's a player that you'd hate to play against because he's constantly, we talked about De La Feo earlier, he's always turning you around. He's always in behind you.
Yep.
He does not stop.
And he's so clinical. Only had 20 shots in the league this season, scored 9 times. He is available at 16-5 to score first, which will appeal to some. Anytime goal scorer in the market at 23-20. And given there's so many goals in this Leicester team, I think they'll fancy their chances going to Palace, who have had a tough run of fixtures, have coped admirably with that run. Mm. I fancy Leicester to win this game at 23-20. I just think there's no stopping them at the moment. And I like Jamie Vardy to score 23-20. Ooh, same price there. Which appeals more?
What, Leicester to win or Vardy to score?
Yeah.
Leicester to win, I think.
You think so?
I don't think there'll be as many goals as there have been in recent Leicester games.
We're not going to get a 9-0. Is that what you're saying?
Not in the slightest. Thing is, I remember sitting here and talking about Leicester Newcastle and making the point that I didn't think Vardy would be as much of a threat because Newcastle would sit deep.
Yep.
As it happened, they changed their system, played 4 at the back, and Vardy was able to do whatever he wanted. Palace don't sit too deep, but at home, defensively, they're quite a unit. That said, quite an ageing unit, and you can see Vardy running off Gary Cahill, for example, and causing problems. I still think that the key for Leicester here will be their intricate midfielders.
Okay.
The likes of Maddison and Tielemans.
Tielemans has been outstanding. I mentioned it on last week's show.
But they all have.
Yeah.
Perez stepped up to the mark.
He did, yeah.
At St Mary's. Harvey Barnes is a danger. Gray can come on and cause problems. They're a really, really good team. But Palace aren't bad. They've done well so far this season. Wilfred Zaha's got a really good record against Leicester. And though he's yet to really hit any kind of substantial form so far this season, he's still sort of their main man, the one that they go to.
He's actually scored in his last three meetings against Leicester now. He's an attractive price if you're looking for a pro Palace bet here. 16-5 here to score first. Sorry, 16-5 to score any time.
Yeah.
17-2 to score first in the match, which does appeal.
Yeah, it's a big price, definitely. And if you are looking for a pro Palace bet, that's probably the way to go. If you are looking for a pro Palace bet, which is not easy to say, I'm going to stop saying it now. They've got a phenomenal record against Leicester in the last few meetings.
Yeah, yeah.
They've battered them a few times. They've gone to Leicester and won. It could be that they're a bit of a bogey team for the Foxes, but I think Leicester will probably just come out on top here.
I'm going for Leicester to win the match. I fancy this man as well, Jamie Vardy, to score.
Do you know?
To score first. Such a wonderful striker. So clinical, Vardy. I'm going Vardy to score at any time and Leicester to win the match. That's my bet.
I think Leicester will probably win. I wouldn't be suckered into the price. It's one of those ones that you'd be very tempted by, and I'd just steer clear of that as an outright pick.
Okay.
Because Palace have to be respected, and they're a juicy enough price. I do think Leicester will just edge it in the end. I don't think there'll be that many goals in the game.
Okay.
I'm going to focus on one of the midfielders. James Maddison scored a beautiful free kick at St Mary's, and I think a player like him could be the difference here, getting a little pocket to space. He's a fair price to score any time. If you don't think there's going to be many goals in the game, you could take him to score first as well. But I'll hedge my bets. Any time, Maddison to get on the score sheet.
Very good. I like it. Maddison to score at any time in that one. Now, this was launched to critical acclaim last week. Two of the three bets landed. It's time for Number Crunchers.
Let's delve into Saturday's 3 p.m. games from a statistical standpoint and use some facts and figures to single out some appealing bets. Among the teams in action are some of the Premier League's big guns, literally in the case of Arsenal, who welcome Wolves to the Emirates. Arsenal haven't lost at home at 3 p.m. on a Saturday for over 6 years, winning 20 and drawing just 2 of these matches since. And though they may well extend that run here, the away team are by no means out of this. Wolves have scored in each of their last 9 Premier League games, the second longest streak in the league. With both those factors in mind, Arsenal and both teams to score at around 2-1 could be the way to go. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the only team to have scored in more consecutive league games than Wolves is Liverpool, who travel to Villa Park looking to extend their lead at the top of the table. The Reds have lost just one of their last 18 away league games against Villa. In fact, there's no Premier League side. They've beaten away more often, and with an aggregate score of 13-1 in their last 5 meetings at Villa Park, Liverpool -2 on the handicap looks to be the bet. And though the champions Man City haven't had things all their way this season, they'll relish the thought of a home encounter against the Southampton side fresh from their Friday night 9-0 thumping by the Foxes. It may pay to side with another English talent to run them ragged too, Raheem Sterling, who's scored 4 and 5 home league goals against Southampton, so backing him to score 2 or more at around the 3-1 mark catches the eye.
Hopefully some more decent stats-based bets ahead of those 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday in the Premier League. Let's look at the last game this weekend. It should be a good one. It's Everton versus Spurs at Goodison. Everton 17-10 to win it. The draw 5-2. Spurs in the betting at 31-20. Both teams to score is often a popular bet. I think it will happen in this game as well. 8-13, yes. And no is available at 6-5. And I think Mauricio Pochettino is under more scrutiny following that result away from home at Anfield last weekend. Took the lead in that game, eventually lost it 2-1. I thought the team selection was slightly strange. Tanguy Ndombele has had such a wonderful start to the season, so influential, and he was omitted. And when he came on, it was a real shot in the arm for Spurs, but came on too late. He sort of went back to the side he was selecting last season. It kind of perturbed me, that team selection. It didn't work out in the end.
But I think he was under more scrutiny when they lost away at Brighton.
Yes. And that was because of the manner of that result, I think.
But then I think that sort of subsided a little.
Yeah.
They had a big win in the Champions League against inferior opposition. Losing to Liverpool is it's not worth sacking a manager for.
It's not, but I think it was because they went 1-0 up so early in that game and then lost all control. I think last year's Spurs would have seen that game out or at least picked up a point in that fixture.
Okay. Well, I think this is a game that if Spurs were to lose, then the pressure would be on again. But I don't mind Spurs in this game, to be honest. They're quite an appealing price.
They were vying for that material for me. I think 31-20 is good. I don't trust Everton at all. Spurs have won the last 2 meetings at Goodison, 6-2 and 3-0. I fancy Spurs in this game. I thought 31-20 was pretty appealing, but I'm very anti-Everton as you are?
I'm not always.
In terms of betting perspective or proposition.
The thing is, I wasn't on last week's punt. And I
didn't notice.
You missed me a lot. You were texting me. I half fancied them at Brighton. I'm glad I didn't do anything about that. Yeah. Because in the end, they put in a very Everton performance. Mm. Very Everton result. 2-1 up with 15 minutes to go and lose 3-2 away from home. Against a side who they really should be beating. This game last year was superb for a neutral. It was just before Christmas. I remember I was in my little blanket there watching it. And yeah, 6-2.
Stocking on the wall.
There was just no defensive thought.
Yeah.
Spurs going forward are a danger. Son has got a very good record against Everton when he starts. So he started against them twice ever and he scored 3 goals. So he has to be considered. Harry Kane has got a phenomenal record against Everton as well, so he has to be considered. If you were looking for an outright pick in the game, Spurs and both teams to score is probably the way that I'd go. But I think I'd probably steer clear of the result here and focus on players a bit more.
I'm going for Harry Kane to score in a Spurs win here. Got a tremendous record against Everton. I think Spurs are an attractive price in this one.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I'm going to go one better than that, though. Harry Kane, in his last 4 starts against Everton, has scored a brace in every single one of them.
Yeah.
8 goals in 4 games is the kind of record that I can get on board with. So I respect your Kane to score and Spurs to win.
Yep.
And I raise it, Kane to score 2 or more, which is a phenomenal price. And look, it's Harry Kane. You're going to get a good run for your money. He's on penalties. He sometimes takes free kicks. He just loves playing Everton. Kane to score 2 or more is a nice pick at a lovely price.
There you go then, Kane to bag a brace against Everton at Goodison. And now, Derek is already getting into the festive period. Let's hear from him. And we'll follow that with the Football League chaps and their naps this weekend.
I'm getting excited because there are only 3 more Watford managers until Christmas. The latest Hornets gaffer is Kike Sanchez Flores, a man so cautious he looks both ways before crossing his legs. Watford have, under him, scored 1 goal in their last 5 Premier League matches, which is why Watford have, under them, precisely no one. On Saturday, they are at home to Chelsea, a showdown that is complicated by the guesswork over Flores' formation. Will it be the 6-4-0 lineup that stupefies fans most weeks? Or will he throw caution to the wind and go 5-5-0? In recent weeks, Watford have failed to score against Wolves, against Sheffield United, against Bournemouth and against Everton. Until yesterday, I thought they'd change their name to Watford nil. Chelsea are 13-20 to collect 3 points, and that will interest precisely no one. But they are 21-10 to win to nil, and what I like most about that bet is that I'm already on. Southampton are 28-1 to win at Manchester City on Saturday, and all I can say about that is that the zero must be missing on the William Hill keyboard. Offer 280-1 and there would be no takers. Look up Clueless in the dictionary and you'll find Southampton's picture directly below mine. But my dad gave me 3 pieces of advice before he died, and one was, if a team concedes a bag full of goals one week, they won't do it the next week. Everyone thinks the Saints will surrender again, which is precisely why they won't. And remember, City follow this game with a Champions League trip to Italy and then the title showdown with Liverpool. Saints are evens with a 3-goal start. I can think of several better bets, but unfortunately not at the moment. I could do with a winner right now. I'm so out of luck that on Monday I went to a massage parlour and discovered it was self-service. Luckily, I found just the thing. Burnley manager Sean Dyche looks like he eats raw antelope for breakfast. Blades manager Chris Wilder looks like he eats Burnley managers for breakfast. Blades are supposed to be strong at Bramall Lane, but they've lost there to Leicester, Southampton and Sunderland. And I see no reason why Burnley won't go there and win this weekend. You can get 13-5 for Burnley. I really think you should.
For my Championship nap of the week, I'm going to take Nottingham Forest at 13-8 away at Luton. Now, let's be fair to Luton. Even though their form recently is poor, many of those losses have come away from home, but they have conceded an awful lot of goals. And while their last home game was a very comfy win, I think they're opposable here. Why? Well, Forest did lose at Wigan. Outside of that, I've looked very good indeed. 3 wins from their last 5 away games. And I think they're much more dangerous Forest than I thought they'd be this season. 13-8, Nottingham Forest, my nap of the week.
I'm going with the Nap, which is slightly different this weekend. It is Sunderland at home to Southend, and I'm backing Sunderland to score in both halves at 21-20. Nobody's conceding goals like Southend at the moment. They've conceded 10 in the last two, and their goal difference is minus 27, which is the worst in the league, even worse than Bolton Wanderers. Sunderland have scored 13 in 5 at home, including 5-0 last time out. And last time Southend travelled to Sunderland, they lost 3-0, and Sunderland scored in both halves. My Nap is Sunderland scoring both halves at 21-20.
So yet again, I'm saying you should back against Walsall. They are fourth bottom, 15 points, and away at Swindon, fifth place, 27 points. Swindon 17-20, but Owen Doyle's Swindon. Now, Doyle was not exactly prolific when he was at Bradford last season, but he did score in both meetings with Walsall. Also scored 13 in 13 this season. That included each of the last four, and he bagged a hat trick last week. So I'm comfortable taking Swindon's 17-20 and bolstering it out to 17-10 for Owen Doyle to score in a Swindon win.
Four winning Nap selections on the punt last week. Let's hope for more of the same this week. And the table is still looking pretty healthy.
Yeah, you're... I don't want to do this every week, but you just keep getting... Who's putting yours in for you? Is it you? Have you got a bot?
This is just a remarkably long purple patch.
You're taking the mick with that selection, though.
Yeah, you don't like this one, do you?
Well, I just don't understand how that can be your best bet of the weekend.
I just like the price a lot, 17-4. I think Liverpool are just... I know they're still getting results, but I think they're wobbling slightly. I really do. I think Spurs, if they weren't at their lowest ebb, would have taken a point at Anfield last week. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got Jurgen Klopp tactically at Old Trafford a few weeks back. They drew that game. Leicester could have picked something up at Anfield. Aston Villa haven't been beaten at home since the opening day of the season. I like the draw in the game. 17-4, I think over 4-1 is very, very appealing.
I agree with every bit of logic that you've used there, but I've used it for my Nap, which is Liverpool win to nil. I don't think they're going to go and win this 5-0. I think they'll win it 1-0, 2-0. They'll graft. They'll defend well because goodness knows they didn't in midweek against Arsenal.
There's a much changed side.
Exactly. With the big guns back, I think that they could have... I think they'll just be solid, basically.
What's the price on yours, though?
5-4, I think. Yeah, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, okay. I'm going 17-4. Arsenal, Aston Villa versus Liverpool draw.
You mentioned that Spurs were nearly your Nap.
Yeah.
I thought about going for Kane 2 or more as the Nap just to try and boost.
That's 11-2. That's a nice price.
Yeah, it is a nice price. Worth bearing in mind as well, this must be the first time in a long time, I think it's the first time this season, that Spurs have not had a game midweek when other teams have. And, of course, Everton have. So that could just be something to factor in. I didn't mention it during the game. But now I'm hopeful Liverpool can just do a job on Villa. That's the aim anyway. And I got Man City went in against Villa.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of luck with that in terms of second half Villa to have a chance or two. But now I'm hopeful that Liverpool will win and win to nil against Villa.
Very good.
That we've both gone in the same game though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I think you're trolling me there.
One more thing.
Go on.
I contemplated napping West Ham. But as a Newcastle fan, I just couldn't do that. But West Ham are teetering quite close to even money at home against the Newcastle side, who look toothless. West Ham seem a pretty sound bet. I couldn't bring myself to take Newcastle on for Nap purposes.
Okay.
But, yeah, hopefully Liverpool can do it for them.
Very good. Thank you for your company, Alex.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's watched or listened to the punt this weekend. Check out all the markets at williamhill.com and on the app. And myself and Alex, we will be back next week. Tell your friends about this punt show as well. It's been a pleasure. I've been alongside Alex, and we'll be back next week.